My guest at this time is Craig Shirley. He is the head of Shirley & Bannister Public Affairs, one of the leading public relations firms in the Washington, D.C. area. He's the author of several books, including Rendezvous with Destiny, about Ronald Reagan's 1980 campaign, Reagan's Revolution, the 1976 campaign, as well as December 1941, of course, about the Pearl Harbor attacks. He's getting a lot of attention this week for a piece he wrote at Breitbart.com entitled Rise of the Obama Republicans. And Craig, thanks so much for being with us.
You bet. Thank you, Greg.
Well, you kind of couch this article in terms of what Ronald Reagan was able to accomplish and then say that pretty much once Reagan left office, the Republican Party liked the imagery of Reagan but didn't really stick to his principles. And now,
No. And now
we're at the point where President Obama is having quite an effect on Republicans. I'm sure most Republicans, whether they consider themselves establishment or Tea Party, would blanch at that description. But tell us what you mean by it.
Well, you have to go back to the rise of the Reagan Democrat, because there was it wasn't just that he was running against Jimmy Carter, but there was a cultural affinity for Ronald Reagan by blue collar Democrats, you know, who were ethnic, lunch pail, Catholic, but they were as attracted to Reagan culturally, even more so than they were politically or ideologically. You have the rise of urban Republicans now, who are very comfortable with the security state, who believe that to be sophisticated they have to be have a liberal viewpoint on gay rights and gay marriage and abortion and things like that. And so really, if you go down the line, is that they are really much more in agreement with the elites of the Democratic Party and with Barack Obama than they are with the populist Reaganite Tea Party wing or portion of the Republican Party.
How exactly did that happen? I mean, immigration's always been a tricky issue for Republicans, it seems like. Even Reagan himself ended up signing the amnesty, but it's always been a strong pro-life party. And until a few years ago, they were very strong on traditional marriage as well. So why the major evolution on those issues?
We've witnessed an historical shift in the media in this country, Greg. Is when the framers crafted the First Amendment, they deliberately stuck in freedom of the press, even though the First Amendment is more about our personal rights as far as speech and petitioning government and religion, things like that. It's all and keeping government out of religion. It was about individual personal human rights. But they stuck in freedom of the press, and it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb because it doesn't really belong there, except that the framers thought that the press of the time, the pamphleteers and newspapers, even though they hated them, were an invaluable ally of the people against their government. And it worked pretty much for 200 years. You know, every president, you know, reviled the press of his era. You know, Lincoln did and Jefferson did, and, Reagan had his battles with the national media. But more or less they were doing the job that they were supposed to do as the framers outlined. That's all changed now it was beginning to change with Bill Clinton, but now it's complete now under Obama, is that the press, for the first time in the history of the American Republic, is an ally of the government against the people. And the government is defined as, you know, being, you know, by Obama and by the elites. And so they have pretty much bludgeoned any other viewpoint other than the accepted avant-garde viewpoint into the ground.
Craig, you mentioned in your piece that power is everything, power vindicates all, at least that's the mindset. But to have power, you have to win elections. Ronald Reagan was a guy who averaged over 500 electoral votes. So
yes,
even if they didn't necessarily agree with his principles, why didn't they see that that was a ticket to victory?
The Republican Party was never comfortable with Ronald Reagan. Don't forget, when he was nominated in 1980, he'd only been a Republican for 18 years, whereas he'd been a Democrat for 32 years before that, which is why he had such crossover appeal. Many of the primaries that he won in 1976 or 1980 were aided by Democrats who could cross over and vote for him. And so, ironically, is that during the 1980 campaign, the Washington Post assembled a focus group of Republicans and Democrats to look at campaign commercials. And, you know, Bush's and Carter's and Connally's. And they showed the Reagan commercials to the Democrats and the Republicans, and according to the reports of the Post, the Democratic focus group liked Reagan better than the Republican focus group. He came out very much out of the Andrew Jackson populist, anti-concentration of power, pro-family, small C Catholic parish perspective of the Democratic Party, and so that's partially why he had such a strong appeal with the Democrats. So the Republican Party never really got comfortable with the elites of the Republican Party, which is why they spent so much time savaging him and trying to destroy his candidacy in 1980.
We're talking with Craig Shirley. He's the author of Rise of the Obama Republicans. Was published on May 21st at Breitbart.com. And, Craig, I think if you talk to most establishment Republicans, first of all, they wouldn't call themselves establishment Republicans, but they would say,
sure,
look,
of course not.
Look, not one of us voted for the stimulus. Not one of us voted for Obamacare in its final version. Right now, of course.
Word games. They all play word games.
The Democrats control the Senate. The Democrats control the White House. There's not much we can do, but we've blocked a lot of terrible stuff. So what do you say to that?
Shame on you for simply thinking of yourself as an obstructionist party. Your job, the loyal opposition, is not just to oppose. You should be proposing too. Is that what is it that you are doing to push to advance the cause of freedom in America? If American conservatism is I think you and I agree, is defined by personal freedom, liberty, privacy, dignity, all those things that are intruded on by centralized authority, then what is the House passed a bill yesterday to, quote-unquote, water down the NSA, except it doesn't water down the NSA. Now, the Republicans control the House of Representatives, and they purport to be for individual rights, and yet they pass a bill which basically does nothing to stop the NSA from monitoring the emails and the phone calls and the cell phones of private American citizens. So it is baloney for John Boehner and McCarthy and the leaders up there to say that's all they can do, because they do control the House of Representatives, and when given a chance to do something, they do nothing. In fact, they bow down before the NSA.
You say the last gasp of principled conservatism may have come in 2010 with the rise of the Tea Party, but this also gave rise to the countervailing force of the Obama Republicans, resulting in the nomination of Mitt Romney in 2012. And you finished the piece by saying the administrative state is here to stay. The only question is whether the Tea Party Reaganites stick around with a party that is fundamentally opposed to them and despises them. So that's obviously not a very hopeful outlook. How do you expect this to play out?
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, so all we can do, Greg, is just go on history. But we do know, from studying, taking psych classes in college, that a human being cannot house two conflicting personalities very long successfully. So either the Republican Party is going to acquiesce, the establishment Republicans are going to acquiesce to a 21st century agenda that would be considered to be, federalism, which would take power away from Washington and return to the states and individuals. Or the Tea Party, they do have an option, and they exercised it in 2012 when 4-6 million self-identified conservatives did not vote for Mitt Romney because they did not feel that he represented their interests. And those people walking away very well may have cost Romney the election. Is that I saw a poll down in Kentucky that 25%, 1 in 4 of Mitch McConnell's primary opponent, Matt Bevin, 1/4 of his voters said under no circumstances will they vote for Mitch McConnell in the fall election. What the establishment Republicans have never come to understand is that these people are not motivated by power. They are motivated by principles. And if you don't embrace their principles, they're not interested in the insider arguments about compromise and power and keeping it away from the other guy. If you're not going to embrace what they believe in, they're not going to vote for you, and they're not going to turn out to vote.
Craig, fascinating topic. Thanks for your time today, as always.
Thanks, Greg. Take care. Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day to you, sir. Craig Shirley is the head of Shirley and Bannister Public Affairs. He is the author of numerous books about the Reagan campaign of 1976, 1980, as well as Pearl Harbor. His article, Rise of the Obama Republicans, was published on May 21st at Breitbart.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.